It's the week of the big game on the Sean Salisbury Show. Brought to you by BetDSI.com. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's the Benchwarmers and Sean Salisbury.
Yep, BetDSI.com. All of our guests this week brought to you by BetDSI.com. We're joined now at SportsCenter with SVP. You can find him on Twitter at NotTheFakeSVP. And I quite frankly think he's the best in the business. And I'm grateful to have him on. It's been way too long. My guy, Scott Van Pelt, joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Piznoid, what's up, bud?
My man, I've been looking forward to this all day. You're absolutely right. It's been far, far, far too long, but we are remedying that right now. Thank you for having me.
Okay, I'm so grateful to have you on, and we'll have fun as you and I have always done. We'll get to the football game in a minute, but all right, it's Phoenix Open week. You know about golf, obviously. I've been a big part of covering it for ESPN, and I know you know about the Super Bowl. So if I give you a Saturday at the Phoenix Open this week for fun or Sunday at the Super Bowl, which one are you taking?
Phoenix, 1,000 times out of 1,000. But figure it out, man. It's good weather. The people out there will be going bananas. And the Super Bowl, I think, is best enjoyed from your couch anyway. And the Phoenix Open's best enjoyed if you're wandering around anywhere out there in the midst of 125,000 people. That's easy for me.
I think it's one of the great. I mean, to me, this week, Scott, at the Phoenix Open in Scottsdale, you obviously know you've been there. Everything about this week, and you're just coming off the car show from the Barrett Jackson. Phoenix this week, Scottsdale, this might be the best week of the year in any city when you're in Scottsdale for the Phoenix Open.
It's hard to describe. We had Keegan Bradley on last night. He's a great sports fan. He played great last week at Torrey Pines. He's a major champion the whole nine. But Keegan, I asked him about like the 16th, the par 3 16th there, which is like it's a stadium around a par 3. And I said, what's more nerve-wracking, that tee shot or the 17th at Sawgrass? He said, well, 17 at Sawgrass is scary because of the water, but they're actually rooting for you to hit it on the green there. Where at 16, he's like, I think they want you to miss the green so they can heckle you. You got people that are just criminally overserved, just berating you for missing the green. It's a different kind of vibe, but man, those folks have fun.
Boy, do they ever. One of my favorite venues on the planet. All right, Scott, you and I worked together for many years, and you've done so much, whether it's College Game Day and features and radio and SportsCenter and 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and now with your show, SportsCenter with SVP. I get people coming up to me all the time about you, not only about what kind of guy you are, but they want more of you. Are you where you want to be, and are we going to see more of you? I mean, when I mean more of you, and I know you got a family and want to have a life, but people crave more of you. Will there be more of you at ESPN?
I mean, I like the spot we have. I loved, you know how much fun, I mean, obviously you do it. You know how much fun it was to do radio for me. Me and Marcillo, I think, settled into a really good spot. We had a blast. But, I mean, for me at the moment, you know, having the hour a day at night to do SportsCenter the way we want to do it, I can't complain at all about it. And, look, man, I'm just, you know how the industry is crazy. I'm just trying to do what makes me valuable, try to do a decent job, keep my head down and do a decent job daily. So if they want more, I mean, sure. But for me now, that hour is a blast, and I'm just trying my best to do the best hour I can do every day.
Well, you kill it all the time. All right, your favorite interview ever, radio or TV?
I think can it be totally unrelated to TV?
Yes, anything. I don't care.
I got to actually host an event. It was a private event in New York City where I interviewed Bono of U2, which I had people always, for over the years, people would always say, you know, what athlete do you think you'd be like nervous if you met? I mean, look, man, you're an athlete, and I'm around them all the time. People are people. I respect the athlete, but I don't freak out when I meet them because they're just people. But like somebody like that from U2 that's like the soundtrack of your life, it's kind of, I was freaked out, but he couldn't have been more generous. He couldn't have been more kind. And at the end, he said some really kind things about how much he enjoyed the conversation. So, I mean, I'll never forget the fact that I sat in a small room in New York City and got to interview Bono one night, and that he actually didn't he didn't seem to hate it. He actually kind of seemed to enjoy it. So for me, Bono, that's the all-timer.
Scott Van Pelt obviously doesn't need much introduction. SportsCenter with SVP, you get him nightly. I'm curious, Scott, with Bono and that interview, did you find something out about him that you didn't know?
That's always the goal, isn't it? I think I was just trying to ask questions I didn't think he was always that he always got asked.
Right.
And I asked him a question about an interview he had done years ago where he talked about, you know, whether or not they were the best band in the world, and he answered they had just played Madison Square Garden the night before, and his answer to that was, "We were last night," and I laughed and I said, "What?" When you answer a question that way, I said, "Is it arrogance or is it really rooted in belief?" And you know, he laughed for a while and he talked about like being a megalomaniac and how that like you kind of have to. Part of it's the performance, you know. But I think what we got to is that there's insecurity that fuels it, even for a guy like that. And I guess what I found out, Sean, is that everybody's human. You know, even somebody that stands up in front of 100,000 people and has to, you know, entertain, that even that. Insecurity is at the root of needing that affirmation, and I don't know if I'm explaining myself well, but I was kind of just, it just made me feel good to know that even somebody like that isn't always positive with every step it is that he's taking. You know, is this the right thing? Is this going to get, you know, is this going to be what resonates with people?
Hell yeah, I would imagine the reason he's still so good is butterflies still resonate with him every single night he takes the stage. Okay, I'm coming to you. And I'm the boss, and I get to say you get one assignment. I want one assignment, one interview. Who haven't you interviewed, or the one get that you need to get that you haven't talked to yet?
Wow. Oh, man.
And it doesn't have to be sports. It can be acting, anywhere. The one get you want.
I'm trying to think if there anyone in sports? Because I don't have anyone that I'm dying to talk to at the moment.
Right.
Because the thing that's happened, Sean, and this has been fascinating, it's happened in the past few years, that it's harder to find out stuff about people we don't know because the social media allows us into a place where now everyone's got a megaphone in his or her hand at all time. And so it's more difficult to find out something we don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, big like, time. Yeah.
I mean, like a guy like Brady. I mean, I don't understand how you can maintain this level of excellence and hunger at this age, and how you can defy age. But he's so good in those settings of not necessarily letting you in. It's a screen door. Like he'll open the door to the front door, but he's going to talk to you through the screen door. And what I mean by that is he's not really letting you in. Like he's not really saying, "Come on in and sit down and get comfortable." And that's, I understand that. I respect that because he wants to be in control of the narrative. So I don't know. I mean, there's not necessarily an athlete right now that I feel like I don't know something about. That's always the most fun, is when you can get to someone where that's why I guess the Bono thing for me, because it was so outside of my comfort zone and my sweet spot, that to actually get to do that was, you know, totally different than anything else that I had done before or since.
Scott Van Pelt, ESPN, joining me here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Okay, you mentioned Brady and the ability to keep people out but semi-let them in so they still want part of it and begging for more. When it comes to the mm-hmm. GOAT, when it comes to being the GOAT, who's a bigger GOAT, Brady or Jordan?
Oh, God. It's so hard because I'll say Jordan because he never lost. And I'll also say Jordan because I'm that old guy in the barbershop, Sean. You know, the us old guys, like the new guys, want to argue about LeBron, and we just roll our eyes and go, "Come on,
that's you know, right.
How are you going to step to me with that?" I mean, but as time goes by, that LeBron conversation gets more interesting. For you, a peer, a guy that actually was in the league, can you put anybody above Montana? Just given how great, even though he didn't get there as many times, like it's harder for me, as great as Brady's been and getting there eight times, to just ignore the excellence of Montana. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel the same about him?
Yes. Well, yeah. I think Brady, because of so many and how he's performed at this late age, I got him as the best quarterback. But yeah, having seen across the field and watched Montana and never lose, yeah. And for a guy who, quite frankly, was a little undersized and kind of frail looking to do what he did, I completely agree, and I understand why. And I think that narrative that that Jordan didn't lose is always going to be why most of us have him just a cut above Brady. Okay, you're one of the great – you and I had more fun in the newsroom than we probably should have had, and it was awesome. But you're one of the great impersonators. Some of the things that we could interview would be great that since you're not here in studio. But you're one of the great impersonators, and you did a great Chris Berman. So if Boomer – if and this is affectionate. If this was – and I mean this affectionate towards our guy Boomer. If the Raiders were in the Super Bowl and he was hosting the pregame show and we were counting down 10, 9 – eight, and was about to come out live, and it was the Raiders versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and Boomer was about to get tossed to in the pregame show. How would he open the show?
The Outland
I guarantee did you not do the hand thing when you did it?
The word Raiders was never said. Like, he didn't even finish that part. It would just be, and I mean, and it'll be, you know, look, guys, you know, we Philadelphia, we know, and the city, and they're greasing the pole. They went, yeah, but they're
like, tell me every time you do that, you don't use the hands like.
I wish there was a camera on me. I'm sitting here in gym clothes. It wouldn't be a pretty picture. But the entire time I'm doing that, my hands are flailing around wildly because you can't do a Boomer impersonation. And God knows he's the ghost.
Yes.
He's the godfather.
No question.
But, you know, everyone does some Berman. And if you're going to do a Boomer, you know, you can do the noises and the whoop, the whoops and the whats and the daisies. But the hands need to constantly – and when he was on with Tom Jackson, it was so great
to be
doing Countdown again, do Primetime, rather. And when he's out there with TJ, the hands just flailing. Like, he's still him. Like, you could just put an IFB in his ear, put him down on the set, roll the highlights, and, you know, look, we got Brady, this, what, that, what.
And he can't – and you're right, he can't say Raiders. He can't.
No.
He can't. It's impossible. He is. All right. Hey, Tiger Woods, is he going to win again? Not just a major, a regular tournament. And how soon then?
This year. This year, I think he'll win again. And the reason I say that, and people all eye roll with me, oh, you've been his boy and this and that. I've known him a long time, yes. I admit to that. That's not a secret. But I'm not the one saying this. I asked a guy who played in the event down in at Albany, it's a silly season event, his Hero World Challenge. But a guy who played with him down there said, I couldn't believe how much better his game was than I thought it would be. And if he stays healthy, he will win this year. And the fact that he has had this most recent back surgery takes, I think, and I hope, that back issue out of the equation. I think he wins this year. Now, will he win another major? Look, man, it's a really healthy time for the game out there right now.
Yep.
Spieth and Jordan and Thomas and Jason Day wins again, and Rory looks like he's getting back. Dustin Johnson's out of his mind. There's a ton of talent. But let Tiger just once get his nose in there and be in the ring and be in the fight and let them have to deal with his presence. None of these guys have ever had to deal with it. None of them.
Right.
And it would just be a blast to see. A major, I'm not saying that's going to happen yet, but if you gave me odds, I bet Tiger wins an event this year.
I sure hope so. We got about 2 minutes left with Scott Van Pelt, Sports Center with SVP. You can check that out. As I don't need to tell you guys, you know where he's at. Scott, what's the surest bet? Prop bet, any bet? What's the surest bet this Super Bowl Sunday?
Over in the national anthem. It's pink and it's like 2 minutes, and you just. Set the tone early. You know, I mean, look, if you've seen the show, it's no secret. I'm not averse to a little giggle, a little wager here and there. Before the coin toss even happens, set the anthem, set the tone, get involved. Take the over, root for her to stretch it out, get theatrical, and then, you know, if that goes wrong, then bet heads in the coin flip. And then if that goes wrong, just keep doubling up. That's Uncle Scott's advice to you on how to watch the Super Bowl. Have some studs. Go heavy on the props, take the Eagles plus the points, and call it a day.
And you'd probably be fairly safe saying Brady's going to throw for over 285 and a half yards. So, Scotty, before I let you go, I don't even know if you're picking winner. Do you have a winner and a score?
I like the Eagles to cover. I like the Patriots to win. Call it three, call it four, whatever you want. But I don't know how Brady loses because he just. Even when it's close, like the Jacksonville game, even when they were behind, I thought they'd win, and they did. I think Philly keeps it close, but I think New England wins.
Will anybody get to the 30s in the score on the score side? Would you take the over?
No.
Well, that sounded like a sure bet, too. So I'm in. I'm listening to my man. Scott, man, I wish we could do this for an hour. I know you got stuff to do, but have a great week, and we'll do this again, and let's not make it so long in between. I love you, brother. You keep up the good work. You're killing it, and I appreciate you.
Right back at you. You know where to find me. You keep doing your thing, and we will do it again. All right?
And we will do it again, if you know what I mean, someday. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Yes, thanks. The great Scott Van Pelt, SVP, Sports Center with SVP, and not the fake SVP on Twitter. One of the best guys you will ever meet. And I assure you, he's got the over in the pink bet, and he made that prop bet. If he hasn't yet, he will. We're coming right back here on the Sean Salisbury Show.